Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 410 here on this Tuesday, April 8th, 2025. And like every Tuesday, we bring in our friend Tommy Marquez, who is a Navy veteran himself. He served in Congress as a senior staffer for many years, and now he helps us navigate that VA system that our veterans have earned. Tommy, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. I got to tell you, some of the comments that you're reading, oh boy, they're going after you.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it's so funny. I love the way you go back at them, though, Rob. That's great. I want to talk about the Sean Ryan interview with Secretary Doug Collins and some of the big things that are coming and changing at the VA. But before I do that, I have to get something off my chest. I just have seen these, you know, comments in this book written by this individual who was a Biden staffer and is now coming out and saying how horrible Biden was before the debate and how he was completely out of it and all these things. And now you have people on both sides of the aisle saying, oh, what a hero this guy is to come out and say these things. Baloney. I just have to say this. I hate these people. And this, listen, yes, I definitely lean right, but I'll tell you what. That guy didn't make any of these objections when he was working for Biden. He didn't come out with any of this, you know, worrying about the country like he's some soldier taking a stand, you know, in Sparta against Biden and saying he was out of it. No, he went along until Biden was out of office completely. And then he does a book, which he's, I'm sure, getting paid hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million, to write disparaging comments about his former boss. And this kid, who's some, you know, bootlicker from the White House, is now just going to go out and write this story, and people are just going to applaud him like he's taking some kind of big stand. So the big stand would have been if he would have said these things like that young lady has, who's been nonstop against the Biden train and other people. And again, I'm not a Biden, you know, listen, I just didn't vote for Joe Biden. Let's just say that, right? However, he was the president of the United States and he's somebody's boss. And as someone who worked for a member of Congress who got into some heat and it was not good, I just hate these people, Rob, who are fair weather friends, want to write a tell-all book after the fact, and everyone's going to applaud them as if they've done something courageous. So, you know, I'm sorry. I know I want to talk about the VA and what's going on there, but I just got to call it out. This is cowardly to do it afterwards and get paid. If you want to be courageous and you want to tell me he's courageous, do it when he's in office, do it when it's the right time, and do it for no money. I mean, you know, I mean, but that's just me, Rob. That's just me. So, hey, let's talk about that interview with Doug Collins on Sean Ryan. And we got to get Secretary Collins on your show, Rob. We need to make that happen. I know we've had Dr. Lawrence, who's now the deputy secretary, but we really need to get Secretary Collins on your show. We need to come out there and look at the VA facilities in your area, because that's some of the largest and best VA facilities that there is. I heard the interview a couple times, and I don't know if you got a chance to listen to it, Rob, because I know you're busy working, but there was some big things that made headlines, but there's some real things that are really monumentous and aren't making any kind of noise whatsoever. And the headlines, of course, read that, hey, they're ending transgender care. Well, yes and no. They're doing no new transgender surgeries. That came out during the interview. And those who already receive transition care or surgeries will continue to receive it. But they had to have received it before this year. But they're not going to do any of the new transitional services or care or any of that stuff. And that's going to save the VA hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're going to use those funds to go to other resources in the VA for veterans for all sorts of different kinds of care, including caregiver support services, which is critical. And, you know, a better use of the money. The other thing that came out was that he removed the flags, and that the flags that are there, the headline was that he's removing the LGBTQ flag. Well, something for people to keep in mind is that the flags that he's putting up are the only official flags, which is the POW and the USA flags. We won't even have state flags or any kind of special interest groups flying at the VA. And so that was just something that he did. It's always been that policy until the last 3 years, or excuse me, 4 years under the Biden administration to change that. But that really doesn't change anything. That doesn't mean that they're not serving LGBTQ veterans. And let me just be frank. If you are an LGBTQ veteran, I don't care. You still deserve good service at the VA. And that should be the priority, regardless if you're black, you're white, you're purple. If you identify as a raccoon and you want to grow a tail, that's all fine and dandy. But if you're a veteran, regardless of any of those circumstances, gay, straight, whatever, you're confused, you don't know what you are, it's okay. The care at the VA should still be quality. And that's what he's trying to bring back. But I think the real headline from that interview was two things. One, he is seemingly willing to meet and discuss and possibly collaborate with an organization that I, you know, full disclosure, previously worked for called VETS. That's Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions. And what they do is they give special operations personnel an opportunity to go to Mexico and receive clinical Ibogaine treatment under close supervision. It is not that they're going out to some kumbaya land on a reservation and, you know, they're praying to a god. I've heard all these crazy things. That's not what's going on in VETS. It's a really good organization. And I'll be like 100% honest. It's a crying shame that Medal of Honor awardees have to go to Mexico to get the care they need to potentially help them with their PTSD and their trauma. So I am for VETS, regardless of my work status with them. I think that it's a great organization. I think what they're doing is unbelievable. But the idea that we have a secretary of the VA who's looking and exploring the possibility of going to an outside resource, a nonprofit, and using them to help veterans get the care that they need, and using some of the laws that President Trump passed with the right to try laws, I think is a monumentous thing, and it's something that has never happened at the VA before. Also, it seems as though Secretary Collins in that interview pretty much outright called something that is felt pretty widely in the GWAT era veterans community, which is the old Big Six VSO groups are slowing down processes, and they're not necessarily going to be the go-to end-all be-all for what happens at the VA, what gets sponsored at the VA, gets signed into law. They're going to start advocating with nonprofits, newer nonprofits, potentially like the Travis Manion Foundation, which is a great nonprofit, Wounded Warrior Project, all sorts of new groups for veterans to get advocacy and care potentially. And he's willing to work with them. And he's willing to work with some of the best state-of-the-art hospitals to get veterans the care that they need. A lot of people don't know this, but the cardiology departments of the VA are ranked some of the lowest in the nation. And he brought up that point that there is VA hospitals that are right across from unbelievable cardiological facilities, like in Houston. And that's the number one in the nation. And we're not just outsourcing patients to go to them right across the street for a fraction of the price that it would take for us to start up a new wing at that hospital. So he's looking to change it. I think that those are the real big headlines, Rob. I think that those are the things that veterans should know and care about. I think the other stuff makes, you know, the headlines and gets the clickbait. But when you look into it, nothing's really changing on those fronts. They're still giving that care for those who have already gotten that. And they're redirecting that money to serve all veterans, which I think is a much nobler deed. Now, of course, there's still a concern, Rob, and you and I have heard this left and right, about the firings at the VA. But I want to give everybody an example of something at the VA that happened. that I would swear to under oath, or attest to under oath, I guess now they do. I helped a young lady who came to me who was sexually assaulted by a contractor at the VA who was working at a VA facility. And this young lady explained what had happened, that she was sexually assaulted during a visit. It turns out, as I went to the VA and said, what is going on? I'm getting these reports that this person isn't being fired, or at least put out of, you know, leave of absence, something. And he's a medical provider. And they said, ironically, as they reached out to veterans, there was five other women, female veterans, who had said that, you know, that reported, you know, these things, the same thing, that the same thing had occurred. And they were not in cahoots with each other. They did not know each other. It had been over several years, about 2.5 years, that they had reported that this happened. The Office of Inspector General at the VA was investigating this. I asked for them to immediately, on behalf of the congressman, to place this individual on leave. I asked for them to turn over this investigation to the police department in San Diego. Because it happened on public land. You know, the VA is not federal. I know everyone thinks it's a federal land and all this, but the police could investigate this, where this occurred in San Diego. And they have a special unit, could have done this, arrested the individual, all these things. The OIG could not do it. He could not turn over everything until 8 months later. And during that time, this individual was still allowed to practice at the VA. So you had six individuals, and it turned out that this individual pled guilty to eight different times he had sexually assaulted female veterans. And we could not only fire this individual right away, okay, we could not put him on leave of absence, we could not stop him from doing his job, we could not stop him from showing up to work, and we could not turn any of this information over to the authorities because of the union bargaining agreement. Now tell me, Rob, does that sound absurd to you or what? It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And I lost sleep on this. So when people are telling me, and by the way, no doctors, no nurses, no skilled technicians are being fired. Accountants are being fired, you guys. Bean counters, janitors. Believe it or not, the people who do haircuts at the VA hospital. Those individuals are the ones that are being fired. And not all of them. Just some, to get it to right size. There's no shortage of care available. But you hear a story, and you guys are like, well, you know, they're just firing people. No one is just being fired at the VA, I assure you. Because if an individual can assault six individuals reportedly, okay, and it took 6 months before they were able to terminate this individual, and 7 months before they were able to turn it over to the San Diego Police Department for this to be investigated, and a year for this person to finally plead guilty after that, don't tell me that there's not individuals at the VA who need to be fired. And I lost sleep because I was worried about how many female veterans were potentially going to fall victims of this just horrible, horrible person working at the VA preying on my veterans. So don't tell me that, you know, oh, no one deserves to get fired. That person deserves a lot more than getting fired. And I'm fired up about it still to this day.
That would aggravate the hell out of me. Especially the slow roll there. And you know, doing these types of investigation, that's done for a reason, to stall. People retire. People go away. People get less angry to testify.
Yeah.
So kudos that you saw it through. Tommy, how can my listeners follow you?
You'd always follow me on social media, Rob, to any of your listeners. And your listeners are reaching out to me constantly, and I love it. I appreciate it. If I don't get to back to everyone on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, I apologize. At Tommy Marquez Consulting, you can reach me there if you don't know. I'm trying to get to as many people as I can. I'm in D.C. this week working on a bunch of veterans issues. I'm going to meet with all the upper brass at the VA to discuss tons and tons of issues like this, get it in front of the VA, and hopefully make changes for our veterans. So if any of you have any cases like this or any scenarios that you want to bring to my attention so I could address with the VA directly, reach out to me at social media, at Tommy Marquez Consulting, on any of those platforms. Also, you can get hold of Rob, apparently, because Rob always sends me these things. and I'm happy. I can't do it all, but I do everything I can, and I promise you guys, I am here for you as veterans and the family members of our greatest asset that this country has, and that's our nation's veterans and patriots.
Tommy, thanks for joining the show this week. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, my friend. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's that point in the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, three of our law enforcement from Pennsylvania made the ultimate sacrifice. We're going to start with Patrolman Samuel Angelo Macrino, Erie Police Department, 1962. Suffered a fatal heart attack shortly after struggling with two suspects outside of a club at 126 East 11th Street. He and another officer had responded to the club to investigate reports of a fight. Once they arrived, two of the men attacked the officers but were subdued. After two additional officers arrived, both men were taken to jail. When he secured his warrants for the two men, he suddenly collapsed. He was transported to Hammett Hospital, where he died. Park Police Officer Thomas Ryan, Fairmont Park Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1947, was killed when his police motorcycle struck a tree while he was involved in a vehicle pursuit on Roosevelt Boulevard near Murray Avenue. He was traveling approximately 70 miles per hour when his motorcycle crashed into two trees. Ryan served with the Fairmont Park Police Department for 5 years. He was survived by his wife and daughter. And Patrolman George Martin, Carlisle Borough Police Department, 1893, was shot and killed by a burglar he pursued into an alley near South Street. 2 days later, the suspect was arrested by police in Winchester, Virginia. Suspect was convicted of first-degree murder and hanged on March 1, 1894. Patrolman Martin had served with the Carlisle Borough Police Department for 3 years. He was survived by his wife and child. And those are our three from here in Pennsylvania. I do also have a story, and I don't like when I see stories like this, and neither do the correction officers, neither do law enforcement anywhere. A correction officer at State Correctional Institution in Dallas has been charged with trying to smuggle synthetic marijuana and other contraband into the prison in Jackson Township. Thomas Michael Wren, 37, of Nanticoke, has been suspended after being accused of trying to sneak the synthetic weed along with Suboxone strips into the prison during a sting operation earlier this month. According to the complaint filed by the State Department of Corrections Bureau of Investigations and Intelligence, authorities got a tip in March that Wren had previously smuggled drugs into the prison and that he agreed to do it again. Undercover agents set up an online phone number to facilitate the deal in which Wren was supposed to accept $5,000 in cash to introduce the prison 30 strips, a Suboxone, and 100 sheets of paper saturated with synthetic cannabinoids, the complaint alleged. On April 3rd, Wren began texting the agent that they were set up for a meeting the next day at a Walmart superstore in MacArthur Road in Whitehall. The undercover officer met him on April 4th, handed over a manila envelope containing replica contraband designed to look like real drugs, as well as $1,500 in fake cash, the complaint said. Agents arrested Wren upon his acceptance of the package and charges allege. He is charged with felony counts of possession contraband, drug trafficking, and criminal use of a communication facility. Bail has been set at $50,000 bail. He is innocent until proven guilty. He's being held at Luzerne County Correctional Facility with preliminary hearing scheduled for April 15th. He has been suspended without pay pending the outcome of the case, which is good. And again, it's you hate when you hear stories like this. This drugs are often most likely are found to have entered the prison system through someone who works there, be it someone in the kitchen, be it other staff, be it clerical, be it therapeutic staff, be it correction officers. And anytime this happens, it puts everyone at danger, including these coworkers. So, you know, I hate to read stories like this, but I also like to put them out there to send a warning that if you're thinking about something like this, you're in the wrong profession. Get out of the profession. Don't endanger your own family and your coworkers. So good job for the investigation unit here. It's 4:41 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? And with all the panic, I get it, the ups and downs with the market makes people uneasy. But just know, it's a historic fact. The market has always recovered. It always has done better. So let that be a little refreshing breath for the pause that we're dealing with now, this hysteria that doesn't need to be. People are panicking where they don't need to be. On this day, April 8th, several significant events occurred through the U.S. 1864, the U.S. Senate passed the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, aiming to abolish slavery. This amendment was later ratified by the states on December 6th of 1865. 1913, the 17th Amendment was ratified, establishing the direct election of U.S. senators by popular vote rather than being chosen by state legislatures. Could you imagine if that was still in effect? Woof. 1952, President Harry S. Truman seized control of the nation's steel mills to prevent a strike during the Korean War, citing national security concerns. However, the Supreme Court later ruled this action unconstitutional. 1964, NASA launched Gemini 1, the first unmanned test flight of the Gemini spacecraft, making a significant step in the U.S. space program. In 1974, Hank Aaron of the Atlanta Braves hit his 715th career home run, surpassing Babe Ruth's longstanding record. In 1994, rock musician Kurt Cobain was found deceased in his Seattle home. These are the events of diverse historical milestones that have taken place on April 8th in the United States. Let me go to the phone now, because we have our friend Sam, who's going to tell us about some issues that are going around in the upper Lackawanna, lower Susquehanna County. Sam, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So, Sam, if you want to bring the listeners up to speed, what's going up by us, because I live up there as well. I'm your neighbor up there. Tell us what's going on.
So up here in Clifford Township, what we have is a proposed solar farm that is going in, where they're attempting to put in roughly 150 acres solar panels. So this is not panels on somebody's roof. This is an industrial scale solar farm that is proposed on the slopes of Elk Mountain, directly above the small town of Clifford, which has been flooded twice already in the last 6 months as a result of runoff off the mountain. And now, of course, we're going to strip the woodland, strip the natural vegetation, and install 150 acres of solar panels, which are obviously impervious to rain and will just produce more flooding down the bottom.
That was my next question. These aren't just like open farm fields they're converting. They're going to actually strip land and take trees down for this.
Yeah, 100%. They're going to take down the natural vegetation there. Also, some of this is open pasture, which was up until relatively recently a farm where they raised buffalo, American bison. So we're going to get rid of all of that. And look, I mean, you're talking about the Saudi Arabia of natural gas, right? You're standing on top of massive fields. I mean, this is the Marcellus Shale. This is, I think, the second biggest gas-producing area in the country. And now we're going to install solar panels here on the slopes of Elk Mountain, which is, you know, everybody in the area knows how many days of sunshine we get during the winter and the snowfall and everything else. Doesn't begin to be economically viable or competitive, but we're going to do it anyway and destroy the environment in the process.
No doubt. Now, I'm in Greenfield Township, which borders Clifford, just on the right. Lackawanna-Susquehanna border. I know the area well, and you are correct. You know, back during, you know, 15 years ago when we had our Marcellus Shale boom, you know, there was gas lease on my property. I know it all went through that area, Susquehanna County, and out towards more west of us. But you are right. You know, there's an abundance of that there, and here's this. Now, we've seen them try and do this in Scott Township in Lackawanna County. We've seen it down here, a couple of solar farms that were eventually denied. So what's the status of what's going up there with this solar farm?
Right. So this is going on all across the Commonwealth, right? It's going on at this particular company, Susquehanna Solar, is pursuing projects not just in Northeast Pennsylvania, but literally all across the state. And some of them are not being permitted. Right now, this evening, we are having yet another township supervisors meeting at which I expect a giant crowd of local residents who are overwhelmingly opposed to this thing to get the supervisors to say, look, knock it off. I mean, in addition to the environmental considerations that I touched on, the only reason this is happening with these solar farms is because of the so-called Inflation Reduction Act that was passed under the Biden administration, which Trump famously refers to as the Green New Scam. Now, wherever you are in Trump and wherever you are on that, it is indisputable that it is the financial incentives in that bill, which amounts to you and I subsidizing solar, that makes this possible. And so you get a 30% tax credit for every dime you put into building it. You get to write off all your depreciation in only 5 years. I mean, so what they have done is make it economically viable, even though the energy is nowhere close to competitive. And you know, the environmental issues are not just runoff. I mean, the solar panels themselves contain all kinds of horrible things. When they're finally done being used, whatever, you know, however many years down the road it is it theoretically possible to recycle them? It is. It costs roughly 10 times as much to recycle a solar panel as it does to just dump it in a landfill. So, I mean, anybody with any common sense can tell you what businesses do with these things. Nobody pays 10 times more to recycle it. They dump it in a landfill. So forget the theoretical aspect. In reality, they are never recycled. So you're just in the name of saving the environment, you are creating massive quantities of toxic waste.
And we've seen around the nation these types of plans from Solyndra from years, decades ago to now, where they'll put this money in, they'll be subsidized by you or I, the taxpayer, and in 5 to 10 years, they'll walk away from the project because it's no longer economically viable. And we're left cleaning up the mess. We're left with the unsightly, deteriorating thing that's not even producing anymore.
Yeah, and look, precisely. And in a place like Pennsylvania you have a long history in Pennsylvania of industrial development, mining, and everything else, and of communities. I mean, it produced a lot of prosperity, but also left a lot of communities, when it was all done, having to clean up that waste, and the company's not around anymore. I mean, there are almost endless series of issues here. I'm talking about if the solar panel actually works right. When you're done, you're trying to recycle it, you've got to deal with all this toxic stuff. If the solar panel malfunctions, if the solar panel breaks, I don't know, let's say we get a hailstorm on Elk Mountain, which is not particularly uncommon, and all of a sudden you got broken glass, now you have all that stuff leaching out into the groundwater long before you have to retire the panels. As I started off by saying, Clifford has literally been underwater twice in the last 6 months. I'm talking water, basements filled with water, businesses ruined, roads washed out. I mean, you know, on the slopes of the mountain where you get runoff to the point where it's torn out the blacktop, and roads actually around here were closed for some period of time in many places after these rains. Now you're going to make it worse. I mean, I'm laughing not because it's...
No, funny, no, I hear you, because it's been that bad to where you have to
do it.
Yeah. So the meeting tonight, where is that taking place? What time is that taking place?
So it's in downtown Clifford. It is at the Township Hall down there. And the Planning Commission is meeting before the Township Supervisors at 6 p.m. They will be considering this issue. That meeting is open to the public. The Township Supervisors will then be convening in the same location, 7 p.m., to consider this. We had a meeting to organize last week, and we had a huge crowd there. I anticipate a very large number of folks. And I would say, you know, come on, everybody should be out there talking to the supervisors in an adult fashion. in a civilized fashion, but expressing themselves, telling them, look, this is a terrible idea, man.
Yeah.
Take it elsewhere.
Yeah, and I would imagine there needs to be zoning changes and such because of the, you know, and changing the land features.
Yes.
Yeah. So again, 6 o'clock tonight, you have the planning commission, then the supervisor meeting. Again, be cordial, be professional, speak to your supervisors, let them know, even if it's someplace, you know, that you go to through to, on your way to Elk Mountain. If you don't live in Clifford Township, you may not be a voting member, but you could still let them know that's not something you want to see on our countryside.
100%. Look, this is the name of the game. It's the way the system's supposed to work. You're not supposed to sit around passively and wait for people to make decisions. Get involved in the process.
Indeed. Sam, well, I appreciate you calling, and keep us in touch. Keep in touch with us. Let us know how this is working out. I know I've been involved with some text messages between you, your team there, and you know, keep us updated on it, because I know this is something that a lot of people in Northeast Pennsylvania are concerned about.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Sam. Again, it's Clifford Township tonight in just over the Lackawanna border in Susquehanna County. It's the township right next to mine. So stay in touch with it. It's 4:56 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, it's coming up on the 5 o'clock hour here. Just look at those news stories. Not only did the Supreme Court on a 5-4 decision continue to allow these deportations of these criminally illegal aliens, but the appeals court restores his DOJ's access to sensitive information at U.S. agencies, continuing to do what they're doing there. So it's been a double win in the court systems on what's going on, this change, which, you listen, it's aggressive, it's new, and because of politics, half the country doesn't like what's going on. But it's the way it is. Like we were told for a couple of years, election has consequences, so it does. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.